And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the second hour of Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. Thanks for joining us. You can pick up this program via podcast. After the program is finished, you can go and subscribe for free at the iTunes store. This is Tony Bean. I am the Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference and where we're training transformational students for the church and society. By the way, if you're having a birthday today, you know what we say to you.
Happy birthday!
Yep. Having a birthday makes you a celebrity around here, and you share a celebrity birthday with Nicholas Copernicus, who was born today in 1473. He looked up at the sun one day and said, you know what, I bet we're circling that thing. Turned out he was right. Stan Kenton was born today in 1912, big band leader, jazz band leader. Got to see him in 1977 with his band. It was unbelievable. I was in a high school gym, so the acoustics were not great, but the music was incredible. Lee Marvin was born today in 1924. Smokey Robinson is 79 today and opening up a new Las Vegas show this month. Wow. Jeff Daniels is 64. Hannah Mandakova is 57. She has four Grand Slam titles to her credit in tennis. Justin Bateman of Family Ties is 53, and Haley Duff is 34. Yep, Haley Duff is the older sister of Hillary Duff. So the Duff family very much involved in what we call the show business. That's what Barney used to call it. So if I don't make it in the sheriffing business, I can move right over to the show business.
Wonder if they're related to Howard Duff.
I don't
remember.
Know.
Howard Duff?
Howard Duff.
Yeah. Played police officers and things like that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. On a lot of TV shows.
Okay. So he was an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the actor in the man. Remember Andy talking about that to Opie? So how come we saw Cary Grant in another movie and he didn't sound like that? Well, that's the actor in the man. A lot of good things you can learn from Mayberry. The left wants to transform our election system. No big shock there, is there? I mean, they've been trying to do this for 10 years, longer maybe. Jarrett Stepman's writing about it today in the Daily Signal. He says it's a recipe for one-party rule. But let me just go through. This time, the Democrats have actually introduced a bill in Congress. It's called For the People Act of 2019, or H.R. 1, and it's moving through the House of Representatives right now. The Heritage Foundation has created a list of the law's provisions. The Conservative Action Project has also provided a list of what this law talks about. And I just want to go through these, okay? Because you may think to yourself, when you hear people like me or other people say that there are progressives within the Democrat Party, not the entire Democrat Party, but there's a substantial group in the Democrat Party that would like to see one-party rule. They would like to completely shut out the possibility of another political party having any influence, because they think that only Democrats should be able to make the rules. And I know that sounds over the top, and people say, oh, you can't mean that. I know I've got a lot of Democrat friends. Well, good. You need to have Democrat friends, and they're probably not the ones, if they're your friends, that are trying to get this done. But there's a group of far-left progressives who are pushing hard for the things that are in H.R. 1, the For the People Act. Here's just a few things that this bill would do. It forces states to implement mandatory voter registration, removing civic participation as a voluntary choice, and increasing chances for error. In other words, states would be responsible to make sure that every single citizen was registered to vote, no matter what, and by whatever means that requires. And folks, here's the danger in this. I mean, I hope you see it. Personal responsibility has always been a critical element of voter integrity. In other words, you don't want people voting who are not going to take voting seriously and who are going to try to manipulate the system. Or you don't want to force people onto a voter registration roll, because what's next? Are you going to force everybody to vote? That's civic duty. It's not the government's responsibility to dictate those things. Second thing, it mandates that states allow all felons to vote. Now, we've seen this happen in Florida. We've seen it happen in Virginia, where those are states who have recently voted to allow felons to have their voting privileges back. This is a 100% fully sponsored Democrat push because it's a voter base. I mean, to unapologetically go around and say, well, part of our voter base is convicted felons. They like the Democrat Party. They like progressive ideas. Well, duh. Like, let them out of jail. So this would the bill would mandate that states allow that. It forces states to extend periods of early voting, which is shown to have no effect on turnout. Yeah, all early voting does is shift the turnout from Election Day to 2 or 3 weeks to a month or ever how long before Election Day. It doesn't really cause more people to vote. It just gives them more convenience in voting. But it's also ripe for voter fraud when you have early voting. Just the fact that it's much easier to manage and to keep security tight around an event that happens in a 24-hour period as opposed to having this event extended out over 3 or 4 weeks or even longer. It limits the ability, it mandates same-day voter registration. So not only can you under this bill, you could have early voting, you could vote on Election Day. You could show up at the poll, register to vote, and then vote. Now, there's, again, an irresponsibility is attached to that. Plus, the potential for voter fraud is great in that. I mean, is there going to be a record immediately that you've registered to vote? If we don't know, if your name can't be checked against a list and you walk into a voting place and you register and vote, what's to prevent you from walking into another polling place, registering again and voting? Is there any way that they're going to be able to see immediately that you've already registered and you've already voted? Unlikely. So that's an open door for voter fraud. They want to limit the ability of states to cooperate to see who is registered in multiple states at the same time. Now, why would you want that if you didn't want voter fraud? This is a no-brainer. For one state, for example, the state of South Carolina should be able to check to see if a person is registered to vote in North Carolina and Georgia. Because if you're registered to vote in South Carolina, you can't then go vote in North Carolina and Georgia and in every other state. And why anybody would oppose a system that would prevent that from happening, the only motive that I could possibly see is that you want people to be able to vote in multiple states, which would lead, again, to election fraud. It prohibits election observers from cooperating with election officials and to file formal challenges to suspicious voter registrations. So, in other words, people who are watchdogs over the election process, if they find irregularities in voter registration numbers, then they can't do anything about it. They would be prohibited by law from going to elected officials and saying, you need to take a look at the fact that, 500 people in this precinct voted and there are only 350 people who live in the precinct. So by voter registration list, we can tell that something's amiss, something's afoot. Why would Democrats oppose that? Unless all they wanted was an opportunity for people to replicate their votes to benefit their party or their candidate. It prohibits, it criminalizes protected political speech by making it a crime to discourage someone from voting. So in other words, let's just say that we're sitting here doing the show. This bill passes on the national level. And, Gary and I are having a conversation about the upcoming election. And I say to Gary, look, I've had it, man. I've voted in every election since I was old enough to vote in 1976. And I'm not going to vote in this election. I don't think you should either. You could be charged with a crime. Do you understand? It would criminalize your right to express an opinion about the election process that was negative. That's how radical, folks, you want to know how radical these people are? Read the stuff that they put in to pass for legislation. Read the Green New Deal. Look at the fact that they want to stop cow flatulence, that they want to get rid of airplanes, that they want to get rid of cars, that they want to get zero carbon emissions in 10 years, and they don't care that it's going to cost trillions of dollars a year. In fact, Cory Booker went on the record in New Hampshire yesterday saying he doesn't care how much the new Green New Deal costs. This is cut number five. And I'm sure he doesn't care about what a new election law like this would do to the country. Here we go.
Senator Cory Booker supports the Green New Deal, which would dramatically transform society to combat climate change. And in New Hampshire, he told Fox News, it's not fair to say massive changes are too expensive.
This is the lie that's going on right now. As a guy who's a former mayor, that shows you you can actually revive your economy and create a bold green future.
Also in New Hampshire this weekend, Kamala Harris, who struggled to say whether or not she regrets reacting to the Jussie Smollett case by tweeting, quote, this was an attempted modern-day lynching.
I think that the facts are still unfolding, and I'm very concerned.
In Concord, New Hampshire, Peter Ducey, Fox News.
All right, we'll get back to Kamala Harris here in a little bit. But you heard Cory Booker talking about he doesn't care. It's not fair. It's not fair for a politician, for someone to ask how much something's going to cost when we've got a $22 trillion debt sitting out there, the sword of Damocles hanging over the economy, and you've got a guy who seriously wants to be president of the United States who looks at the Green New Deal, realizes what's going to cost, and said it's not fair to ask about that question. If you're a political candidate for office and you think that it's not a fair question to ask how much something is going to cost, you need to get out of the race because you don't understand the way government functions or what your basic responsibilities are. We'll come back and read the rest of this in a minute. Stay with us. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
We're talking about a piece by Jarrett Stepman that's at the Daily Signal today that talks about a bill, H.R. 1, which is called For the People Act of 2019. That's ironic because really this bill ought to be called For the Democrat Party Rule of the Country Act. But that would probably be, even for Democrats today, a little bit too blatant, except maybe the ones that are running for president. But here we're talking about some of the provisions in the bill. And let me just pick up where we left off. The last thing we talked about is criminalizing speech. I mean, it would basically make it to where if you were to discourage someone from voting, that would be a crime. It would bar states from making their own laws about voting by mail. So voting by mail would become a federal issue and every state would have to allow it. Again, that's a process that is ripe for voter fraud. It prohibits chief election officials in each state from participating in federal election campaigns. It mandates free mailing of absentee ballots, and it mandates that states adopt new redistricting commissions. Now, this is something that Democrats have been working on for a long time. That because Republicans tend to be better at gerrymandering than Democrats. Democrats want to get rid of the practice. Democrats have been gerrymandering just like Republicans. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's when if you have a Republican majority in a state and you have a Republican governor, then a lot of times you redraw districts to favor Republicans in that particular state. That would give you take district lines and you incorporate Republican areas into heavily Democrat areas so that it neutralizes some of the Democrat vote. Well, yeah, Republicans do that because it's allowed. Democrats do that too. The reason they're pushing to try to stop it is because at the state level, you have a lot more Republicans winning races in states than you do Democrats. So they want to keep gerrymandering in just the hands of one party. And then this may be the worst part. I'm going to skip on down here. The most concerning aspect of H.R. 1 is that what it would do to American election laws and how it would bulldoze any semblance of federalism in the political system. By nationalizing, the way it works right now in terms of the Federal Election Commission, right now it takes four members of the Federal Election Commission to agree that a state election law or some problem exists and that has to do with a federal election. And now you have three Republicans and three Democrats. So you've got to get one person from the opposing party to agree with you to get anything done. Well, this bill would take the Federal Election Commission, currently made up of those six members, would change that by making the commission a five-person body comprised of the president's appointees. See, right now you have both parties represented, and that's required. But this would be the president would be able to appoint all five members to the Federal Election Commission. So that may, and the president's party would be able to not all five. Let me back up. Three of the five, which of course is always going to be the majority. So that would make the commission into a partisan body that would be beholden to whoever won the White House in that year. Proponents say this would end the current deadlock, but in reality, it would turn the commission into a partisan tool to be used by the president. It would be an egregious concentration of power, especially given the way the rest of this bill would nationalize American elections. And so when you get right down to it, this entire piece of legislation is a little more than a progressive power grab that's intended to manipulate election rules to favor liberals, and it's an anti-democratic bill that would upend America's electoral system. Now, that's Jarrett Stepman writing in Daily Signal today. I happen to think he's right about that. All right, breaking news. You've been hearing it. You heard the action alert from Fox News. Fox News alert. Bernie Sanders has gotten into the race. Is that really a breaking story? I mean, did everybody not know? Are there people on planet Earth that didn't know that Bernie Sanders was going to run for president? It was just a matter of time.
Because, he's 106 or something, yeah, so we don't know if he's going to get in or not.
Well, he's 77. Joe Biden is the next shoe that's likely to drop in the Democrat race. Most people think he'll immediately become the front runner. I don't know that that's true. I just don't know if the Democrat Party of 2019 is going to get behind a 77-year-old white guy or a 76-year-old white guy, even though it could be Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders that we're talking about. You know, a lot of people were willing to feel the burn in the last Democrat race for who was going to be the Democrat nominee for president. And part of the reason was because Hillary Clinton was very unpopular. But when you've got a stable of Democrat candidates like you've got out there now, I just don't see Bernie Sanders being able to replicate his popularity that he had in 2016.
It's got free college tuition for everybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, but everybody's. I mean, that was cutting edge stuff back in 2016. I mean, he was the Democrat socialist who was to the far left. Now the entire Democrat Party is over there. So when he gets up and starts talking about, well, we're gonna give you all free education. We're gonna give you, we're gonna pay all your medical bills. When he starts saying stuff like that, everybody's like, well, yeah. Kamala Harris said that. Cory Booker said that. Pocahontas said that. You can go down the list of Democrat candidates, and that's all in their bag, except for I got to give some credit to Amy Klobuchar right now. Senator Klobuchar is not. I mean, she's basically pushing back against a lot of these left wing extremes in her own party. Of course, that's why she hasn't even shown up when you're polling. I mean, it's like she's down at the bottom, below the bottom. Wherever the bottom is, she's looking up to see it.
What? I've got to pay half of my college bill? No, I'm not voting for her.
Yeah.
Bernie will give it to me free.
Yeah, and so will these other candidates. So it's going to be, look, it's going to be fun to watch the Democrat primary. I mean, it really is. if they continue to just come up with extreme left-wing policies and put them out there and think that the American people, that that's where the majority of the country is, I think they're helping President Trump. President Trump needs help because he's not doing anything to expand his base. But the base of the Republican Party could be expanded by the extremism of the Democrat Party if they keep moving further and further left.
And they're helping Howard Schultz.
Well, that's true.
Who doesn't want to go that, he thinks they're way off base. And he's actually talked a little bit about this huge debt that we have. I'd watch him.
No, there's people need to keep an eye on him. He's not very charismatic, but his ideas are in the middle. And for people who are concerned about abortion and the sanctity of marriage and religious liberty and things like that, Howard Schultz is not your guy. He's not going to be your he's a social liberal. But when it comes to fiscal issues, which may be front and center in the next election cycle, and it depends on, it'll be interesting to see what he says about immigration. What I've heard him say so far is more of a centrist position of immigration reform that affects all of the law and actually supports some type of barrier at the border. So you're right. He's somebody we shouldn't dismiss him. Kamala Harris is the front runner right now. I mean, I don't know what Bernie Sanders getting in does to the polls. I don't think he's going to eclipse Kamala Harris right away. I think the only person that can do that is possibly Joe Biden, and he would be doing it on name recognition. I think Joe's age and the fact that he's been around, Democrats really are wanting a fresh face. And all these fresh faces that are out there are getting a lot of egg on their faces right now with some of the things they're saying.
Spartacus?
Yeah, Spartacus. I don't think Spartacus has got... Cory Booker, I mean, when you look at his record as a mayor, it's terrible. And he's out there touting it. If you could hide it, maybe. But I don't know that, at some point, somebody's going to call him all on all that stuff. All right, if you'd like to get in on the program, we'd love to hear from you. 888-660-9535. Give us a call.
And here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
Yeah, Denise just called and said she sent me a text message. Said it's sleeting out there. So that's in Greer. So it may not be sleeting where you are. And I wouldn't worry too much about it. Sometimes the temperature higher up can be lower than the ground temperature, and that can cause the rain to freeze before it comes down, and you get some sleeting, but it's gonna melt because it's 40 degrees out there. Got to be below freezing for it to stick anywhere. All right, Ocasio-Cortez has raised some eyebrows after she compared President Trump's border wall, are you ready, to the Berlin Wall. She made her remarks during a live stream for supporters on Friday, where she spoke about the scrutiny she received ever since she won the election last year and dethroned top Democrat Joe Crowley. You know, the scrutiny that she's getting, first of all, she became a media darling, because the media loved the fact that she was a fresh face and that she was young and that she was, you know, so millennial and so socialist and so progressive. And so she's been pumped up by the media ever since she stepped into office. And then she started opening her mouth and talking about policy. And it turns out that she's done things like stir up enough politicians in New York to get rid of Amazon. And a lot of people in New York are upset about that because that's 25,000 jobs now not coming to Amazon. And like we talked about yesterday, her economics lesson was pretty poor because she thought that there's $3 billion sitting out there that now could be spent in New York to feed people and to build shelters and to build more subway stations and to upgrade infrastructure. She doesn't even realize that when Amazon pulled out, there's no money. And the $3 billion was a tax credit. It was money that Amazon was not going to pay. So how in the world she figured that she was going to take money that was not ever going to be paid, that wasn't going to exist, and redistribute it. I mean, that's a true Democrat. I mean, it takes a real progressive to be able to redistribute money that doesn't exist. That's how committed to redistribution of wealth. They'll just imagine some money, and then they'll redistribute it. And didn't she major in economics or something? I mean, I think she's supposed to know this stuff. Well, she didn't major in civics, because here's what she said about the wall at the southern border compared to the Berlin Wall. No matter how you feel about the wall, I think it's a moral abomination. I think it's like the Berlin Wall. I think it's like any other wall designed to separate human beings and block out people who are running away from the humanitarian disasters. I just think it's wrong. I love this comment by Gad Saad, I think is the name. He said, "Dear AOC, let me serve as your private professor here. The Berlin Wall was meant to keep people inside the socialist communist utopia and stop them from fleeing to the decadent capitalist West." That was in the mind of the communists. "So as the new millennial Lenin, you might want to refrain from using this example." I mean, really? People who compare the U.S.-Mexico border wall to the Berlin Wall failed or slept through the easiest history classes in middle school and high school, wrote another Twitter user. Yeah, the Berlin Wall kept people in, kept them in a country that they didn't want to stay because of communist domination and the way they were being treated. They had no freedom. They wanted to be part of capitalism and to take part in it. And a communist state doing this. This is not a matter of immigration. There's no corollary in anybody's mind logically between those two structures. The only place that exists is in the mind of Ocasio-Cortez. It's pretty scary when you think about it. All right, looks like Rob Rosenstein is out. He's going to be out by mid-March. That's according to this story from Fox News. This is cut number 13. This will kind of get you up to speed, and then we'll talk about it here for a second.
Well, the president's not the only one responding, because changes are coming at the DOJ. Now, we've previously reported that Rosenstein would step down around the time new Attorney General Bill Barr took over. But now we have more of a timeline of mid-March in a confirmation that Barr will replace Rosenstein with Deputy Secretary of Transportation Jeffrey Rosen. He's no stranger to Washington. He also previously served as General Counsel and Senior Policy Advisor for the White House Office of Management and Budget under President George W. Bush. And he was General Counsel at the DOT prior to that.
Okay, Rosen's a good choice. Rosenstein should have been out a long time ago. I mean, here's a guy who was in league with Andrew McCabe, noted, fabricator to the Inspector General and to the FBI and to Congress, for that matter. And by the way, McCabe whining about the fact that he was fired says that he was fired because President Trump was trying to cover something up and that they knew what the president was thinking. Listen to this. This is cut number 14. This is the FBI is pretty good, but I'm not sure they've mastered the technique of mind reading yet. Here we go.
We talked about why the president had insisted on firing the director and whether or not he was thinking about the Russia investigation and did that impact his decision. And in the context of that conversation, the deputy attorney general offered to wear a wire into the White House.
You know, Rosenstein, at the time, if you remember, Rosenstein wrote the memo that supported President Trump's firing of Comey. And Comey was fired because of his handling of the Hillary Clinton case. You remember that? That's what Rosenstein said. And President Trump was basically, if you look at the timeline. I think President Trump fired Comey largely because Comey refused to say publicly that Trump was not a target of the investigation, refused to support him in that. But even so, he had plenty of reasons to fire Comey. And as far as McCabe being fired, listen to this. This is cut number 14. Cut number 15 McCabe talking about the president wanted to fire him before he could get his retirement.
He made it quite clear that he wanted me gone before I could retire. I believe I was fired because I opened a case against the president of the United States.
You know, first of all, you were fired because you were not telling the truth. And that's still a case that you're going to have to face. And in the second place, opening a case against the president of the United States without sufficient evidence and doing it under the auspices of the 25th Amendment when it requires cabinet members and the vice president's compliance is tantamount to a coup. So, we need to just move on from Andrew McCabe. Let Andrew McCabe work out his legal problems and, you know, let's just leave that behind. All right, we're going to take a break. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with your calls. Stay with us.
Here's your host, Dr. Tony Bean.
Welcome back, and welcome Rob the Trucker to the program today. Hey, Rob.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Well, I just learned from the only chaplain that had the chapel in all of New England,
uh-huh.
Truckers for Christ. He's politically very astute, and the news behind the news of why Amazon pulled out of locating in Long Island City, New York,
yeah,
is because they got inundated with emails of people that were threatening to boycott Amazon if they located in a state that endorses fourth semester abortions, basically, and killing babies alive.
Yeah.
So that was the real reason behind the reason. And then also Cory Booker, Spartacus T-Bone. T-Bone was a fictional character he made up when he was campaigning for to be mayor of Newark.
Yep.
And during the time he was mayor, they did a lot of economic development. So that's like touting his record. And I don't know if that was really because of him or not, really. But that's what the locals would believe anyway. But, yeah, we have, New Jersey, we got our own exhibitionists, I guess, nationally. So, anyway, that's all I wanted to say. So,
well, thanks, Rob.
I always love listening to your program.
Man,
it's a comfort.
Yeah, well, thank you, brother. And it's an encouragement to have you on the program. I always love it when you call in. So call as much as you can. And be careful out there. Because I just got another confirmation that it's sleeting over in Greer. So we're gonna get a little bit of this stuff, I guess. Yeah, look, Cory Booker, T-Bone, turns out that it's a fictional character that he made up. He's taken a lot of grief over that when he was telling stories. You know, politicians go out, they hit the trail, they tell stories. Now, everybody does this to one degree or another. I mean, you know, when you're a public speaker and you speak all the time, sometimes your stories morph together. And I don't mean this as a criticism at all, and I think you'll understand why when I tell you who I'm talking about. Ronald Reagan sometimes he would tell a story about a welfare, what I think he would refer to it as a welfare queen, who was able to get X amount of government dollars through nefarious means. And really, the person he was talking about was more of a composite of what welfare looked like than it was a particular or specific person. And because some people went looking for this one person and was not able to find the person that Reagan was referring to. Now, I'm not excusing any of that. I'm just saying that when people are trying to make a point and they're on the stump and they make, you know, 6 speeches a day to different groups of people, stories like this a lot of times creep into their communication. And it happens in both with both parties. But and as far as the Amazon, and I'm not excusing Cory Booker, by the way, Reagan never intended to mislead anybody. I think there you have to look at the intent behind what a person ends up doing in a situation like that, it doesn't excuse it, but it helps explain it. And when you're talking about Amazon, there's a lot of reasons that Amazon pulled out of New York. And I have no doubt that Amazon was getting emails from customers that were upset that they were about to invest, you know, $10 billion into an area, into a state that just pretty much sanctioned infanticide. And so I'm sure that they were getting heat about that. But I'm also sure that they were getting heat from left-wing politicians. I mean, I think the thing that drove Amazon away in the end is that a lot of the left-wing politicians were taking extreme heat from the progressives in their own party about the tax breaks that Amazon was getting and how that wasn't fair and how Amazon's big business and Jeff Bezos is rich and he's going to exploit their workers. And, you know, Bezos has defended what they pay their workers and the benefits they give them. This is the same tactic that the left has used against Walmart for years. They've talked about how horrible Walmart is and the way they treat their employees. I mean, yet you go and talk to a majority of Walmart or Amazon employees, and they're, first of all, they're working at a rate that they agreed to because they have a job. And, you know, not only are they doing that, but the companies and overall seem to be taking care of their employees. Not in the way that progressives would like, because progressives want to set salaries for corporations. They, you know, they tried to do that in, what was it, Washington State, I believe it was. It was either Washington or Oregon, where they were going to force, it was Washington, where they were going to force Amazon and other companies, Apple, to pay a certain tax for each employee. And they ultimately backed off of that because those companies said, look, we can't do that and remain profitable, so we'll just leave. And I think a lot of that played into Amazon's decision in New York. They didn't want to put up with all the grief that they were getting and the difficulty that they were having. I mean, it was pretty much a done deal, and then all of a sudden these progressive politicians started finding reasons that Amazon was evil, and Amazon just said, you know what? We can. There's a lot of other places that would like to have 25,000 jobs and pretty much a $10 billion investment. And so they went to find those places. Well, we shouldn't be surprised. New York, California, and 14 other states are suing President Trump over the National Emergency Declaration. Here's the problem they're going to run into. They have to have standing. In other words, what standing does a state have to challenge a national emergency? They're grasping at straws. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, you can listen to Xavier Becerra, who is the Attorney General of California. This is cut number 11. And here he is trying to justify. He's talking about what's going to happen to California because of President Trump's emergency declaration.
There's also military money that goes to installations, military installations, where our men and women in uniform and their families reside. Taking that away hurts California families that are in the military.
Yeah. So in other words, in order to create standing, these states are reaching. They're saying, well, if it's military money that's going to be moved around, that's going to hurt the state of California because the Trump administration is saying, look, we're not going to take money away from these programs that you're talking about in your states. There's plenty of places that you can move money around in the military. These folks are speculating about where this money's going to come from in order to give them, hopefully, in their mind, standing before the court so the whole thing doesn't get thrown out before it ever gets anywhere. All right, that's all the time we've got for today. We hope you've enjoyed the program. Tomorrow, we're going to tell you about Christian Worldview Week at North Greenville University. We've got Russell Moore. We've got Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And we got the campus band. All going to be a great week. We'll tell you the details tomorrow.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.